The Creative Discovery Museum has partnered with the Department of Energy, Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and the Bioenergy Science Center to create a webpage about biofuels. Dr. Wayne Robinson retired from the Walker County School District after 30 years as the Science and Technology Coordinator. Robinson helped to create the website, learnbiofuels.org. What you've created, along with the teams of people you're working with, is a website that provides really good information and actually teaches people about biofuels, but it does it from a point of view that a child can understand.
That's the whole idea behind the website. We wanted to create a product that could be used by students, that could be used by teachers, and that could also be there for the general public and even the scientific community. We began with the premise that let's make this a one-stop shop so that you don't have to go out and do a lot of Google searches or Bing searches. We know that teachers have very limited time to do that sort of thing, and we know that alternative energies are not always at the top of the list as to what topics might be discussed. So we wanted to make it easy. We know it's such a valuable thing moving forward. We wanted to educate, and we also wanted to make the ease of search something that anyone could do.
There's interactive aspects of the website, and there are teacher resource sections.
Yes.
Like you said, you can go from a child playing on a keyboard to a serious educator attempting to find the sources and information they need. Why biofuels?
We believe that biofuels are the future when it comes to transportation. Our research focuses only on the transportation aspect from an energy standpoint. But we know that we have to find sustainable products that can be used to create transportation fuel. Our research is really looking at non-food source materials, materials that are sustainable and that produce a lot of yield per acre. Ethanol, everyone knows that ethanol is in most gasoline that you buy now, and right now the standard is 10% of your fuel is in ethanol. We have every reason to believe that that will increase in percentage-wise moving forward, and we know that corn is a great source for ethanol, but we also know that over 4,000 products use some sort of corn, and that we can find other materials like switchgrass, like trees, like algae that yield a lot of tons per acre and also contain sugar that's needed to make ethanol.
When they began the big push for using corn for biofuels, there were unintended consequences impacting the beef industry specifically because they lost a lot of the feed corn went to fuels. And some of the other aspects, the corn oils and such, really kind of hurt an industry that was never intended. When you switch away from the corn, now is that going to turn around and then hurt the farmers who have invested so much into these crop production for biofuels?
I don't think so. I think there's a market for both. I have a farm and I raise beef cattle. I just planted about 2/3 of an acre in switchgrass to see how it's going to grow, and I'm going to use it mainly as forage for my cattle along with regular hay. There's always going to be a need for corn. This is not about trying to do away with anyone who is producing corn. There are 4,000 different household products that use some sort of corn, from fructose, corn syrup, to just eating the corn on the dinner table. So there's always going to be that. A lot of people don't realize that corn is used in alcohol-based materials because ethanol is really ethyl alcohol. And so if you're using a hand sanitizer and it says it contains ethyl alcohol, then that's ethanol, which probably came from corn. A lot of the book bindings contain corn starch. So lots of different products use corn. On the flip side of that, we have tens of thousands of acres now that are planted with switchgrass. And what we see is switchgrass being a perennial, you only have to plant it once every 15 years, and then you can just continually harvest it year after year after year, and it will grow 12 feet tall. So really the major factor in corn versus some other substance like switchgrass is how do we break down the product to extract the sugar to make the ethanol. But certainly there's a need for both.
Switchgrass also does not deplete the soil of the nutrients in the same way the corn does, so it doesn't require the fertilizers, which then feed and run off into the water systems and damage the ecosystem in a completely worldwide way.
You're right. If you look at the process involved in planting corn and harvesting corn and making that into ethanol versus what's involved in doing the same thing with switchgrass, two very different processes. Corn is an annual, has to be planted every year. You have to prepare the soil. You have to plant. You have to fertilize, as you say. You have to put down some sort of pesticides, insecticides. You then have to, of course, harvest. And then you have to repeat over and over and over again. With switchgrass, once you get the crop established, which normally takes 12 to 18 months, then you have a product that grows without fertilizer, doesn't deplete the soil, as you say, of some very valuable nutrients. And you can do that for 15 years before there's any maintenance really ever required.
You also don't have pesticide issues because bugs just don't like it.
Well, it's a big, tall plant with a heavy stalk. No, you don't have the same problems that you would have with corn.
Some of the lessons that are on the biofuels website, which is learnbiofuels.org, involve choices, letting people know that they have a choice in ways to try and lean toward giving the power of biofuels to the individuals, even if they're not involved in the process of generating it.
Right. We understand that biofuels is not the answer when it comes to transportation. It is one of the answers for transportation. We also are involved heavily with research, solar power, wind power, hydrogen power, lots of different other fuel types. We understand that biofuels is not the best solution for everyone, but it certainly is a viable, sustainable solution, especially when it comes from a non-food source material. We want to make people aware of what biofuels are and then let them make informed decisions based on that.
Is there an opportunity or an exhibit at the Creative Discovery Museum that ties back to your webpage?
We have a kiosk at the Creative Discovery Museum called Road Trip Challenge. Within that kiosk, which is shaped like a little car, children take road trips across the United States. As a part of that experience, they're able to not only select the car type and design their own car, but they also have to choose a fuel type. And one of the fuel choices is biofuels. We have gasoline, we have biofuels, and we have electric as the three choices. And so depending on the length of the trip, and depending upon the geographical challenges and then random challenges that come up during the game, one fuel type may work better than another. And by the way, that Road Trip Challenge app is also downloadable in the Apple iTunes store as a free app for the iPad. And we're hoping that everybody will go there and just look for a simple road sign that says RTC or Road Trip Challenge. You'll see it in the education section, and it's a free download. It's the same game that they would play at Creative Discovery.
All of the resource information for teachers and little interactive games and everything that's done at learnbiofuels.org is absolutely free.
Totally free, and we're always expanding that. This year we plan to open up opportunities for interaction with scientists at the Bioenergy Science Center. Probably once or twice a quarter, there will be the opportunity to either listen to a lecture or really have two-way interaction with scientists. That's something that Oak Ridge wants us to do, and we're very close to being able to have that capability right now.
Those are the rock stars for some kids.
Well, they will be able to talk to the chief scientist with BESC at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. We also have Dr. Paul Gilna, who is the director of the Bioenergy Science Center, that will be participating. The chief scientist is Dr. Brian Davison at Oak Ridge. And then I work primarily with Dr. Jan Westfelling at the University of Georgia, genetics professor. And so they and a lot of their colleagues will be valuable resources for the classroom teacher and for just anyone who wants to know more about biofuels.
Visit the web at learnbiofuels.org to learn more. The website is developed by the Creative Discovery Museum in partnership with the Department of Energy, Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and the Bioenergy Science Center. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.